Hi, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and this is the second in a series of two podcasts on better budgeting in the public sector. Now, if you listen to your first podcast, then you'll know that what we covered there was we had a quick look at what Sir Philip Green had to say about costs reduction and spending in the public sector, focusing on central government and central government procurement. And then we used that as a springboard to go forward and talk about why budgets are prepared, the basic six reasons we prepare budgets, and use those reasons to talk about how we can improve our budgeting in the public sector. And if you didn't listen to that first podcast, why not? Go back and have a listen to it. It's great. This is the second one, though. This is the second podcast in the series. And today I'm going to be looking at three practical things that I've discovered in my tours around dealing with public sector organisations in as to how they're coping with the constraints in spending. And I'm going to talk about these three things. First of all, I'm going to have a look at something very specific to the National Health Service, which is something called service line reporting. I don't want to get too much detail about what that is, but I think that there are lessons that we can learn, all parts of the public sector can learn, from how the NHS has started to create smaller business units within its hospitals and other deliverers of service. So I'll have a look at that in a moment. Secondly, the idea of using a zero base to do your budgeting. So the old idea of zero-based budgeting, which I have also looked at, by the way, on our podcast on cost reduction. You might want to go and have a listen to that one as well. So we're looking at zero-based budgeting and its practical uses rather than all the theory. And lastly, another thing that I've come across in my travels around the country is benchmarking, and the practice of benchmarking yourself against other organisations. So let's have a look first of all then at service line reporting. And service line reporting is something that NHS Foundation Trusts have been introducing over the last few years. Basically, all that it is breaking down, let's say, use the example of a hospital, breaking down the hospital into different units, different profit centres, if you like, and making sure that each profit centre is separately tracked and that the profitability of each profit centre is focused on, rather than just focusing on the hospital as a whole. Just to wind back and tell you what the problem was in the NHS, let's say, and as I say, let me use the example of a hospital. And historically, a hospital would have produced one profit and loss account for the whole hospital. And below that, all that would have happened would be that each manager within that hospital would then have a budget which would be comprised mainly of their costs. So all that we would know about the hospital was, number one, whether or not the hospital as a whole was making a surplus or a deficit. Because, of course, hospitals have income that comes from the primary care trusts, those organisations that are going to be switched over, and GP fund holders are going to provide that same service going forward. So they receive their income from currently the primary care trust. And, of course, they've got their expenses. So we'd have a profit and loss account, if you like, an income and expenditure account for the whole hospital. And then below that, the only other thing we'd know is whether each manager, let's say in urology, had over or underspend on the budget expenditure. What they wouldn't know is whether each of the different disciplines within the hospital was actually making a surplus or deficit. So the problem there was, of course, if something went wrong, if the organisation was, let's say, making a deficit for the year, they wouldn't know where that deficit arose. They wouldn't know which services were efficient and which weren't. And that could lead to strange behaviour, such as cutting costs across all departments. And that might be unhelpful because, of course, there could be some departments that are actually performing very efficiently. So what they've done is they've introduced this idea called service line reporting. And what that means is that the income and expenditure account for the hospital is then broken down. So that, for example, they could, as a first step, create an income and expenditure account for inpatient and for outpatient services at the hospital. And then to go a little bit further, they could then take the inpatient profit and loss account, income and expenditure account, and break it down into an income and expenditure account for general surgery, and then one for urology, and then one for cardiology. So that each of the disciplines within the hospital trust would have its own income and expenditure account. And then resources could be properly targeted on those bits of the organisation that were under or overperforming. If there were inefficient services, then those inefficient services could be targeted, perhaps for special measures from the finance team. If there were very efficient services, then maybe they could be used as a benchmark for the rest of the hospital. Maybe the rest of the hospital could learn about how they organise their services more efficiently. That's something that the NHS is doing within its foundation trust organisations. So what lessons does that have for the rest of the public sector? Well, I think the thing that we can all learn from that is to make sure that our organisations are properly broken down into smaller business units. Because it's only by focusing on those smaller business units that we can truly identify which bits of the organisation are efficient and which bits of them need attention, which bits of them are inefficient. NHS believes that introducing the idea of service line reporting will do the following. It will identify poorly performing services. It will allow efficiency improvements to be properly targeted. It will allow resources to be allocated to high performing services and allow senior managers to spot and assist poor performing services. They're the key things, that key benefits that they will achieve through this process. Obviously, this isn't a quick fix. It does take time to work out how much income and probably more difficult, how much expenditure each part of the organisation is incurring. Obviously, they're going to have come across difficulties, a lot of these organisations, breaking down their overheads and allocating them against the service. But the benefits that they achieve from going through that process are very significant for those organisations. And you could imagine how it might apply, for example, in a council where different departments may have their own income streams, for example, planning, and they could, of course, create their own little mini income and expenditure accounts for that particular part of the organisation. So that's service line reporting, something that's got benefits and lessons for everybody, I think, across the public sector. The second thing that I want to talk to you about is zero-based budgeting. Now, I did a little session on zero-based budgeting on one of the previous podcasts on cost reduction. You might want to actually listen to that in detail, because there are some other cost reduction ideas, which again will be helpful for budgeting, on that podcast. You'll find it on the AAT website. Give it a listen. Anyway, just for today, zero-based budgeting. The idea of zero-based budgeting, if you read it in a textbook, sounds very technical, very complex. The way that I've seen it introduced, though, across public sector organisations is fairly simple, fairly straightforward, and not particularly time-consuming in the great scheme of things. So what will happen is the finance team and the budget holder will work in partnership to try and drive down the costs that the department is incurring. The way they'll do this is the finance team will create a structure for the manager. So let's say that structure might ask the manager to identify what activities that manager's department is performing, and then to have a look at how much resource those different activities take. And then perhaps to have a look at what would happen if the manager's department didn't carry out that particular activity. And then to have a look at what alternative ways of carrying out that activity might be, and the alternative cost that they would involve. So what will happen is the manager will list out all of the activities that his or her department performs, and will then look at which activities perhaps could be reduced in size, which activities perhaps could be got rid of, and which activities could be transferred to perhaps an external service provider. That whole process does a couple of things. First of all, it makes the manager examine reasonably objectively where the money is being spent in the department. So rather than traditional approach to cost management, where the manager will actually look at individual costs like stationery, staff costs, without relating them to the service that's actually performed, in a zero-based approach, you're actually focusing on the activities that you deliver. And therefore, you are much more aware of what will happen if you take away an activity, because part of the analysis process will be to get the manager to think, what would happen if we didn't do that? What would the knock-on effect be? The manager will then be asked to, as I say, decide which activities aren't needed, which activities can perhaps be outsourced, and that will help to drive down the costs. So it gets the manager to have a good objective look at what they do, and then get the manager to think about which bits of the service they can get rid of or perhaps reduce the cost from. Okay, so that's a zero-based approach, very simply. The third thing I wanted to talk to you about was benchmarking. And the idea of benchmarking is to compare yourself against somebody else, but not just anybody. When you benchmark, you don't want to compare yourself against average organisations or average departments. You want to compare yourself against the best, the people who are performing at the top of their game. There's different types of benchmarking. There's internal benchmarking, where you compare one department internally against another department. Secondly, there's functional benchmarking. And this would be where you compare something that you're doing at your organisation with another organisation who performs the same function. It could be an organisation like Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs comparing themselves against an organisation like the Department of Social Security, where they're looking at the function of processing, perhaps processing claims or processing applications. And what you're looking for there is to compare yourself, if you're a processing organisation, compare yourself against a really efficient processing organisation, one that manages to process a larger volume of items than you can, and then learn from them and see how they've done it. Then there's competitive benchmarking, where you compare yourself against a direct competitor, perhaps something like the National Health Service could compare itself and benchmark itself against private sector providers to see how they manage to keep their cost down. And lastly, there's strategic benchmarking, where we're benchmarking our strategy against somebody else's strategy. And again, this could be useful in a budget management cost reduction scenario, because we could be looking at an organisation that's committed itself to large cost savings, perhaps in the private sector, perhaps another organisation in the public sector, and learn from them. So the different types of benchmarking: internal, functional, competitive, and strategic. And perhaps in recent years, the one that's been held out as the most useful one is the second one, the functional benchmarking, where you compare yourself to another organisation, and it can be another public sector or it could be a private sector organisation, and you're comparing a process that you carry out. So somebody like the NHS could, for example, compare itself against an extremely efficient car manufacturer. Not that they do the same thing, but they do carry out some of the same processes, like paying wages and salaries, like the processing function, like the recruitment of staff function. You can compare all of these functions from one organisation to another organisation to see how you can learn and make yourself more efficient. And the key to successful functional benchmarking is to pick a partner to benchmark yourself against, one that is known to be extremely successful. And the idea is that you can go into that other organisation, you're not competing with them, and they will hopefully give you the information that you require to see how efficient you're performing. Okay, so they're just some ideas for helping to improve your budgeting and control of costs. Some of the things that I've come across, some practical uses that I've come across in my travels around the public sector. First of all, there's a very specific one from the NHS, which was service line reporting. Secondly, we had a look at zero-based budgeting, which is something that a couple of organisations I've come across have tried. Very practical use of zero-based budgeting to get the managers to be more introspective about the services that they're carrying out. And thirdly, benchmarking, which is quite common across a number of organisations, where they're comparing themselves either internally, functionally, competitively, or strategically against another organisation or another department. My name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.